Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you hung out with us because we got Janet Christie with us again. Janet is a longtime friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and she's the founder and the president of the management consulting firm Leverage and Development, LLC. And one of the main things she does is help women and minority-owned business owners use their status as such to get more business, especially with regard to doing business with the government. But one of the things she wants to talk to us about today is something that you and I have been talking about. I've been mentioning this to you over the last few months when we've talked about major corporations laying people off. I've been talking a little bit about these opportunities, and we're going to see what Janet has to say about it. Janet, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always, Janet. You know, one of the things that that I've noticed in my life, in my career, Janet, is the phenomena that is created when major corporations lay people off. It creates opportunity in the marketplace. I mean, it creates unemployment for people who get laid off, and that's a bad thing. But the truth is that in the marketplace, almost nothing is wasted. You know, it's kind of like in nature. And so whenever people get laid off, that creates holes in organizations. And what I remind people about is so many times when major corporations lay people off, it's not because they don't need those people anymore. They're just trying to make the analysts happy. The work that those people were doing is still needed to be done, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. They're laying people off because people cost more than a company that they might outsource to.
Yeah.
Because the people not only get the salary, but there's usually benefits and cost of training and
yeah.
on and on.
Yeah, and the whining. Don't forget the whining. when you're a contractor, you don't get to whine.
Oh, no, the customer is right then.
No whining in contracting. That's exactly right. But, no, listen, this is where, you know, this is one of the elements that created the growth in entrepreneurship in the United States. I have a term I use called entrepreneurial convergence, and actually I've developed a graphic about this. And one of the elements of that entrepreneurial convergence is outsourcing, has been downsizing of corporations and then outsourcing to contractors.
And I don't know any of the statistics, but I do know everything I've ever read said that in downturns in economy, the small businesses, the number of small businesses increases, and usually the success rate of small businesses increase.
If they understand what the opportunity is, and they go after that. If they try to start a small business, you know, in an area that's, you know, that's weak, which is the reason why there is a downturn, then they're not going to do too well.
Well, that's true, and unfortunately, a lot of the people that I work with, because they're women and minority-owned businesses, they tend to start businesses in areas that sometimes the large corporations and government look at as luxury or fluff or
right.
not necessary, at least. And I'm talking about things like event management and sometimes training, because if they're downsizing, they don't necessarily need to train those people. So some of those areas that they go into may not be the best ones, and staffing is another one. Now, if you do temporary staffing, might be a good opportunity for you. But if you do placement, not so much. If they're downsizing,
right.
they're probably not hiring.
When they're cutting folks, they're not going to be looking for placements. But, you know, how many times, Janet, and I know you've seen this as many times as I have you seen somebody get laid off, get you know, basically just terminated from a company, you know, take your stuff and box it up and get out of here, and within 30 days that same person has turned around and made a proposal back to the company to do for them on a contract basis what they were doing as an employee.
Oh, it happens all the time. As a matter of fact, sometimes the people are encouraged to do that by the company they're leaving.
Yes. Now, there are two elements here, two issues. One, if the company does that to get you off their payroll and they treat you like an employee, or you wind up being a de facto employee even though you're contracting, then that's actually some of that can be against the law. That can actually create a problem with the IRS. But if you are a true contractor where this is just one of your customers, then you know then it works. And it's happened many times before, because how many, you know, people leave and as they walk out, they say, you know, somebody is going to have to do this work. It might as well be me.
I would caution people, though, not to put all their eggs in that basket, because that relationship then is not employer-employee, and it could go away.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So what are some examples? Are there any particular – you mentioned a couple of things maybe to do or not to do. Any others that you're thinking about?
Well, some of the good ones, some of the good possibilities are things like accounting, and I'm talking about – functions that must go on, so they might not do training or they might not do events, but they still need very often accounting or bookkeeping type services. Sometimes there are other things that maybe they had in-house, like they had a print shop that someone ran, or maybe they had in janitorial services, or instead of janitorial services they had in-house housekeeping. So things like that. One example that kind of illustrates this, but is maybe off the beaten path, is things associated with metalworking and sheet metal and things like that, because I was doing a lot of research for a small business center in North Carolina that in an area that was textile-based for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And as the textile companies started to change the way they did things, they had sheet metal and metalworking shops internally, you know, to make parts for the machinery as they would break down or need repairs. And eventually, all those sheet metal people left because the textile companies closed them down, and they started their own businesses.
Right, absolutely. Well, and they were shed of the old baggage, mm-hmm. and they started out with a brand new model. And you know, there's a lot of that going on these days too. Hold on to that thought, Janet. We'll take a quick break, folks. Right back with Janet Christie. She's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman Owned. Stay with us. 20 after. Little Marvin Gaye bringing us back there. A lot of people don't know that's a cover of a Gladys Knight and the Pips song. She did it first. You don't get stuff like this anywhere else, folks. Only on the Small Business Advocate Show. Hi, I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. We're visiting with our good friend Janet Christie, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. Janet, tell us how we can find you, please.
My website, it's www.leverageanddevelopment.com.
Leverage and Development, all spelled out, right?
Right.
Leverageanddevelopment.com. And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Well, there'll be information about the services that I offer, some of the projects that I've done, the things I do for women minority-owned businesses, helping them market themselves using that status. And you can find a connection to Amazon.com and buy a copy of my book.
There you go. Buy two, give one away, and you'll want to do that, folks. Janet, we're talking about outsourcing opportunities. Now, I've been saying for a long time now that Lou Dobbs is dangerous. Lou Dobbs is a guy who incorrectly uses the term outsourcing.
Oh.
He says, outsourcing America, like that's some kind of a criminal act or something. And he, if he wants to talk about globalization, if he doesn't like globalization, then that's fine. He can talk about globalization. But when he uses that word, he uses it incorrectly, And he misleads people. He misleads people into misunderstanding the power of outsourcing as a practice. And the fact that, in my opinion, Janet, outsourcing is the concept of outsourcing, the practice of outsourcing, is the best thing that ever happened to small business.
Oh, it certainly is. And when he talks about outsourcing, I don't really watch him, but I think that he's probably talking about sending jobs to
other countries. Yeah, and that's what I mean by when I say if you want to talk about it, if you don't like that, call it what it is. It's called globalization.
And people may want to be careful as they approach businesses to look for opportunities like this. They may not want to call it outsourcing because they don't, if it's the textile industry, it might not get you in the door.
Right.
But, if you're looking for opportunities where people are laying them off, or this is a type of business that in your area is everybody's getting rid of those people, like maybe their accounts receivable people or, something along those lines, then, what you're doing anyway is going in and offering them a solution to a problem they have.
Right. So don't say outsourcing. Say, where's your pain?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what you're there for. You're there with an aspirin to stop their headache.
And especially if you can find something that as they are having to decrease the number of people they have, or if it's seasonal or occasional or something like that, that's the kind of opportunities to look for.
But there are two things here. If you're putting something like that together, if you're trying to found a company that's going to do that kind of outsourcing, two things you got to do. Number one, you've got to make sure you package what you're going to be doing not as a task but as a product. It's no longer a job to be done. It's a product to be sold and fulfilled and delivered.
And you may be offering the same thing you've always offered, but as you said, you package it as a solution to their current problem.
And if you don't do that, you might wind up doing the terminal act of not charging enough.
Probably.
Right? Because have you seen people who went in to be, they decided to be a contractor for whatever reason. They were downsized, or they just decided to start their own business. And they actually sold their product at the hourly rate that they used to make as an employee.
Oh yeah, I have seen that a lot.
Big mistake. Well, it's the end. You can't sustain that.
No, because they don't understand that they've got other expenses that they didn't have before when they were doing it as an employee.
If you were making $15 an hour doing a job before, you won't be able to stay in business unless you at least triple that rate as a contractor, in my opinion. What's your rule of thumb, Janet?
I usually say, take what you were making as an hourly rate and at least double it, and then add some percentage for what you think your extras were, benefits and insurance,
right,
and things like that.
Right.
So.
I bet, though, if you do the math on that, it'll wind up being a triple.
Probably.
Well, because you got to pay you got to pay 100% of the withholding.
Yes.
Not just half. And plus the fact that, nobody's guaranteeing you 40 hours a week here either.
No, and there's no way they can, because you've got to sell your services and deliver your services.
That's right. Well, the part of your contract proposal is going to be, we'll save you money. We can do it better, We can make it do it cheaper. You're gonna propose those kinds of things, and so that's going to necessarily mean you're probably going to do it in less than 40 hours.
And if you find something that is occasional or it doesn't take 40 hours and you can do it for them, then you really have saved them a lot of money, because not only have you cut the cost, but you've also cut probably it more drastically, because they don't have to have somebody full-time.
All the overhead. And then, so then what do? You go get another customer. Hey, Janet, give us that website one more time.
www.leverageanddevelopment.com.
Thank you, Janet, for being here. Good job today, and happy holidays.
Thanks, you too.
We'll see you next time. Janet Christie, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Jim Copeland.
Your house is only another mile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.